NPR's Howard Berkus has been following the news from Iraq with heightened interest because of the soldier he knows there.
His name is David, and he seems so out of place in the photographs he's emailed from Iraq. A boyish face tucked beneath a cloth-covered helmet, his neck lost in the collar of a desert camouflage vest, an M16 pointed out a window at Baghdad traffic. I introduced David to NPR listeners a year and a half ago. He was a lost boy of Sudan who was arrested, jailed, and tortured at age 15 because his attempt to help his war-torn homeland was considered the work of a spy. Luck, help, and persistence landed him in the United States, where hard work earned him high school and college degrees. David graduated with honors, the student of the year, and addressed his classmates when they received their degrees. David introduced my wife and me as his American parents. We've tried to substitute for the parents he left behind. He hasn't seen them in a decade. They don't know of his success, his military commission, or his duty in Baghdad. So we are proud and afraid for them. David commands a platoon in Baghdad. He takes his men out on patrol, the kind of duty that draws pot shots, rocket-propelled grenades, and roadside bombs. A few weeks ago, my cell phone rang, and it was David calling from a satellite phone with gunfire bursting in the background. "Is that shooting?" I asked. "Yeah," he said, "but don't worry. It's okay." He sounded calm, so I stayed calm through a conversation peppered with bullets. I now feel like some of the people I've interviewed, like the wife of an army commander during the first war with Iraq. He was with his troops and their tanks in Kuwait. She was with her memories and her fears in front of the television, tuned obsessively to CNN. She combed every report, she told me, for any hint of news about her husband and his men. That obsession has a new face now, a woman I saw on TV recently, also watching CNN, but occasionally glancing through the screen door to the street outside. She left the front door open so she could see the car and officers arrive, so she wouldn't have to suffer an uncertain knock at the door. Now my wife and I share the experience of watching and waiting. We're hopeful, as everyone tries to be. David tells us he's surrounded by good soldiers. He has an uncompromising sense of duty. He readily serves the nation that adopted him, that gave him freedom. It sounds corny, but it's as real as the heat and dust that surround him. "It's like Sudan here," he told me the other day, "and it's terrible. But he can't tell me more," he says, "until he comes home." David has a fiancée waiting here and dreams of graduate school, a White House fellowship, and perhaps a return to Sudan to help people like himself find solace and safety and meaning in places rendered hopeless by war. We wait for him, too, more deeply connected than ever to the rituals of waiting and watching and dreading the knock at the door.
Howard Berkus is a correspondent for NPR.